following sermon is from Faith Bible Church, located in Murrieta, California. More information about Faith Bible Church is available at www.faith-bible.net.
Not many people can say that they have an intimate, caring, selfless friend. And yet, when we look at our own hearts and lives, can we say that we're a selfless, intimate, caring friend to others? One of the things that every believer wants to know about is friendships. Like the old proverb that says, there are three types of friends. There are those that are like food that you can't live without. There are those that are like medicine that you need occasionally. And there are some that are like an illness that you never want. What kind of friend are you? What kind of friend do you have? And are you a committed friend or are you a convenient friend? Interesting enough, Proverbs 18:24 is a real key verse on friendship. And it says this, a man of many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And this really describes the two basic levels of friendship. And that would be level one are acquaintances. Acquaintances, he says, a man of many friends comes to ruin. And when you pursue popularity, you pay a price because you'll have many friends, and yet they are merely acquaintances who are often fair weather friends. They come, they go. And yet level two is loving and loyal friendships, and that would be, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Are your friendships loose acquaintances or loyal brothers and sisters? Are they loyal or are they loose? Well, amazingly, friendship is a crucial need for every person alive, especially for Christians. Sometimes collegians have and try to maintain so many friends that they burn themselves out trying to keep up with all of them. There are men who often don't genuinely cultivate friendships, and therefore they find themselves with no one speaking into their lives. There are sometimes women who find themselves, even in a marriage, somewhat lonely, and so they begin to cultivate friendships outside of that marriage in order to stave off the heartache. There are youth who can't seem to make or keep friends. And there are singles who can't understand why they ever feel secure in their friendships. And yes, there are a few who actually desire to be by themselves and not desire any relationship, but they are the rare exception, and most of us desire true and genuine friendships. Well, today I want you to discover how you can become and grow to be a good friend, an intimate friend, a loyal friend. And in order to do that, like a doctor, we want to examine your heart and your life to see what kind of friend you are. And here is the secret. In order to develop actually wonderful friendships, you need to pursue becoming a friend and developing the qualities that actually make up a great friend. And so today I'm going to ask you, if you would, if you're a kid or a student or an adult, a man, a woman, a teenager, whatever, to rate yourself on your friendship quotient, all right? Your friendship attributes, the qualities of being a friend. What kind of friend are you? For once you become a better friend, I guarantee you will develop better friendships and have better friends. And there is no better way to learn all of this than to study the great examples of friendship that are found in Scripture. And one of the greatest that is found in the entire Bible is that of the pattern you find in Jonathan and David, one of the true friendships of Scripture. So let's study their friendship by turning in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 18, and follow along in your outline. So far in 1 Samuel, we know that God is finished with King Saul because of his continued disobedience to the Word of God and because of his lack of heart for the things of God. And interesting enough, God has chosen a new king for himself, a man after God's own heart, a true friend of God, and that is King David. And you know David, he's the scrawny little shepherd boy, ruddy, good looking, and yet he is faithful and little. He's a gifted musician. He's even a psalm writer. He soothes the crazed king while also being a man of faith who conquers the giant Goliath. Well, now because of David's trust in the living God, his courageous heart, his kingly leadership, against all the enemies of God's people, as you open chapter 18 in 1 Samuel, this unknown youth who really does love God and is a friend of God is about to make a friend and also make an enemy. What do you mean? Well, he's going to become the enemy of the reigning king Saul, and he's about to become a very close and personal friend to the king's son, Jonathan. And so as chapter 18 opens, you see Jonathan display the very first characteristic of an intimate friend. And that'd be first in your outline, a voluntary willingness to sacrifice. Look at chapter 18, verses 1 through 3. Right after David killed Goliath, listen to this. Now it came about when he had finished speaking to Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as himself. Verse 2, and Saul took him, David, that day and did not let him return to his father's house. Verse 3, and then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Now we know from the previous chapters that Jonathan was a man of faith. He was also a brave warrior, and yet it must have broken his heart to see his father disobeying God and losing his power of command and finally actually being rejected by God himself. And so as he watches David do what his father Saul should have done, and that is to battle Goliath, Jonathan's heart really went out to David, and actually with a great deal of devotion and commitment. He saw him as a man after God's own heart. And notice, according to the scripture, Jonathan's friendship with David right now in this context is one way. It was Jonathan's soul that was knit to David. And Jonathan loved David as himself. The text does not say at this particular point that it went both ways. This is actually Jonathan's commitment to David. And it displays really the beginning key of true friendship. And that is, Jonathan went so far as to even remove his royal regalia in verse 4 and placed it on David as recognition of God's election as David as the future king. So friendship begins with a willingness to sacrifice. And this is what you see Jonathan doing here. Regardless of the circumstances, he's sacrificing for his friend. And within a very short period of time, David is hated and he's hunted by Saul. And yet Prince Jonathan shows what a true friend is by, again, willingly choosing to sacrifice for David. Look at chapter 20, verse 4. Chapter 20, verse 4. As David fears what Saul's going to do, look what Jonathan says in verse 4. He says, then Jonathan said to David, whatever you say, I will do for you. Whatever you say, I will do for you. Jonathan is willing to sacrifice anything for his friend David. In fact, Jesus even said it this way in John chapter 15, verse 13. He said, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. True friendship is measured by sacrifice. Sacrifice. Is there sacrifice in your expression of friendship? Not sacrifice given to you, but sacrifice that you give to another. That's a key to friendship, that you sacrifice for them. It's kind of like the pig and the chicken who got together and loved the farmer so much that they said, we got to do something really special for the farmer. And they thought and they thought and they thought. And finally the chicken said, you know what? We should give him a breakfast of bacon and eggs. And interesting enough, the pig responded saying, well, that's great for you. That's a contribution from you. But from me, it's a total sacrifice. A total sacrifice. And real friendship involves sacrifice. It may not be your life, but understand all true sacrifice will cost you something. It costs you something. It will cost you time when you don't have any to maintain good friendships, or money when you're out of money, you know, or labor when you're weary, or an emotion when your tank is empty. It costs you to maintain a friendship. An intimate friendship will give when it's not convenient and sacrifice even when it hurts. And there will be times when you're needed most and you'll be there. That's friendship sacrifice. True friendship involves a willingness for you to sacrifice for another. So evaluate yourself. Now again, you're evaluating just you, not everybody, but put an X on the scale on your outline where you think you are with the quality and the willingness to sacrifice for your friends, for your friendships. Rate how much sacrifice you make and you give to your friendships. Is it weak? Put an X there. Is it average? Put an X there. Is it strong? Put an X there. But rate yourself right now where you think it best describes you and how you express sacrifice towards friendships. Now, there's a second attribute of an intimate friend, and it's found in 1 Samuel chapter 19. So turn over, if you would, 1 Samuel chapter 19, because secondly, in your outline, it is a loyal defense before others. A loyal defense before others. In chapter 19, verses 4 and 5, here Jonathan, the heir apparent to the throne of Israel, the one who stands to lose the most if David actually lives, here Jonathan defends David before his father Saul, and he says this in verse 4 of chapter 19, then Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul his father and said to him, do not let the king sin against his servant David, since he has not sinned against you, and since his deeds have been very beneficial to you, for he took his life in his hand and struck the Philistine, and the Lord brought about a great deliverance for all of Israel. You saw it and you rejoiced. Why then will you sin against innocent blood by putting David to death without a cause? Saul actually here listens to his son and even promises in verse 6, he says this, as the Lord lives, Saul says this, he, David, shall not be put to death. Saul says that. But Saul's promise isn't true. And just one chapter later, in chapter 20, verses 30 and following, listen to what Saul says to his own son, Jonathan. Verse 30, then Saul's anger burned against Jonathan. Verse 31, for as long as the son of Jesse lives on the earth, neither you nor your kingdom, Jonathan, will be established. Therefore now send and bring him to me, for he must surely die. And Jonathan answered his father and said to Saul, why should he be put to death? What has he done? And look at what Saul does in verse 33. Saul then hurled his spear at his own son, Jonathan, to strike him down. So Jonathan knew that his father had decided to put David to death. I wonder how he knew that. And there, verse 34, then Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger and did not eat food on the second day of the new moon, for he was grieved over David because his father, Saul, had dishonored him. True friendship is loyal to others. Jonathan is defending the man who would become king and replace him, Jonathan, as king. And yet Jonathan is loyal to the man who will take his own throne. He's loyal to his friend. True friends are loyal even when it costs them. But fake comrades are only your friend when there's something in it for them. And the Bible even speaks to that in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 6. Look at your outline. Many will entreat the favor of a generous man, and every man is a friend to him who gives gifts. You can buy friends, but they won't be loyal. Take the prodigal son, right? When he was spending his inheritance, he had lots of friends. And as soon as his money ran out, there was no one. He was all alone. There were no more friendships. When life gets tough, that's when you find out who your friends are. In fact, there's one saying that puts it this way, a false friend is like your shadow. As long as there's sunshine, he sticks close by, but the minute you step into the shade, he disappears. True friendships are loyal. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. How many, if you had an auto accident and you were severely injured, would have friends who would ditch school or take off work and stay by your bedside for 7 days and seven nights so they could pray with you and cry with you and care for you and remain with you that entire time because they're your friend? How many of you have that kind of friend? Job had friends that were just like that. You say, hey, Job's friends were off theologically, but they were friends who were loyal. They were off theologically, but they were loyal friends. In fact, Job chapter 2, verse 11 says, when Job's three friends heard of all this adversity that had come upon him, what'd they do? They came each one from his own place. They made an appointment together to come to sympathize with Job and to comfort Job. Well, those are great friends. Loyal friends. They stayed with Job day and night. The only problem was on the eighth day, they opened their mouth. That was the problem. That's when we found out that they didn't take any of Nigel's counseling courses at all. So they were loyal even though they were wrong in a lot of the counsel that they gave. Yet Webster says loyalty is a faithful allegiance. A faithful allegiance. And the Bible says loyalty brings life to a relationship. Proverbs 21:21, he who pursues righteousness and pursues loyalty finds life and righteousness and honor. And God says he loves loyalty above all others. In Hosea chapter 6, verse 6, for I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice. You know, like many of you, I've had friends who betrayed me, and nothing is more painful than that. But I've also had loyal friends, and nothing is more precious than that. And nothing is more important than their loyalty to God, to His Word, and to me. Evaluate, if you would, your loyalty as a friend, your loyalty level. Your loyalty, not someone else's to you, but yours to them. Mark the scale with an X on the line showing your loyalty. Was it weak? Was it average? Is it strong? Well, there's a third quality of intimate friends, and they have a complete freedom to be themselves. Thirdly, a complete freedom to be themselves. Or for you, a complete freedom for you to be yourself. Look at chapter 20, verse 41. Here Jonathan and David met secretly using an arrow and a young boy as a signal. And after they had sent their message, they met in verse 41. And it says this, when the lad was gone, David rose from the south side and fell on his face to the ground, bowed low three times, and they kissed each other and wept together, but David even more. Now, this is not gay. This is genuine affection in a Hebrew culture of one man for another. Friends have the ability and the privilege to be themselves. True friends are the same at work and at home and at church. And true friends don't have to be plastic or phony or distant. They're not afraid of what the other will say, and they're not afraid of what the other will think. In fact, they have a complete freedom to truly be themselves. Friendship. And that means true friends tell the truth to each other. True friends are honest even when it hurts. As Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. You know what that means? When you change your hairstyle, that one that's terrible and it's all spiky and weird, an acquaintance will say, oh, that's great, spiky is in, you look wonderful, even though you know it's not true. But a true friend will say, what are you going for, Brillo pad? That looks like what my cat coughed up in the morning. That's horrible. But they love you, but they'll tell you the truth. Listen, a true friend, though, talks more than just about hairstyle. They talk about sin. They talk about morals. They talk about obedience and beliefs and convictions. They talk about failures and opinions and ideas and struggles and trials and bents and decisions that are made and not made. And they seek wisdom, friendship. Let me ask you a key question for today. Where does it say in the Bible that when you and I sin, or when you sin or I sin, that it's nobody else's business? That's not in the Bible. That's not what the Bible says at all. In fact, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, it says, if a man is caught in any trespass, you who are in the Spirit, restore such a one. Or Matthew 18, verse 15, if your brother sins, go and reprove him in private. Consider your actual blood sister, if you had one, you know, a relation, a sister, who chose to date an unrepentant pervert who's currently on hard drugs and arrested for beating up his last three girlfriends. You would intervene. You would confront her honestly, even if it hurt, even if it wounded her, you would tell her this is a bad idea. In the Christian life, we're to do the same thing concerning sin. When your brothers and sisters in Christ, if you love them, even if it means they reject you, a true friend will speak the truth, will speak into their lives, even when it's painful. Friends, there are people who leave churches because pastors or elders or spiritual leaders speak honestly to them. Now, they won't speak honestly to others, but they'll get honest talk, hard, loving truths, because true friendship, true love is honest. Proverbs 27, verse 17 is kind of in our face when it says, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. But iron doesn't sharpen iron without heat and sparks, right? There's heat and sparks. And it's the same with friendship. There'll be heat and sparks when there's a true friendship and when it's honest. And yet it will result in maturity and growth and becoming like our Lord Jesus Christ. So are you ready to rate yourself? Evaluate yourself. Are you honest? Are you free to be yourself and be honest with those who are your friends? Do you express that honesty? Evaluate yourself. Are you one who allows others the freedom to be themselves? Is that weak? Put a check. Or is that middle or average somewhere? Or is it strong in your life? But evaluate your friendships. There is also a fourth characteristic we see in Jonathan and David. A fourth characteristic of an intimate friend, and that is a source of constant encouragement. Constant encouragement. Read chapter 23 now. Turn to chapter 23, verses 15 through 18. It says, now David became aware that Saul had come out to seek his life. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David at Horesh and encouraged him in God. And thus he said to him, do not be afraid, because the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you, and you will be king over Israel, and I will be next to you. And Saul, my father, knows that also. So the two of them made a covenant before the Lord, and David stayed at Horesh while Jonathan went to his house. David's in hiding from Saul at this time to save his life. So what's a true friend do? Well, Jonathan comes to encourage him. And that Hebrew word there, encourage, means to strengthen. It means actually already to repair a weakness. Now, isn't that true of what friends do? They strengthen us and they repair our weaknesses. They shore us up. Webster even says encourage is to inspire, to spur on, to stimulate in spirit and to stimulate in hope and courage, to help someone to move along. And when you want to give up, a true friend will recharge your batteries and push you on to keep going. A true friend never stops believing in you. Now, that does not mean that friends flatter you all the time and flatter each other. Flattery is based not on truth, but a lie. You always look like a fashion model, okay? Or you're the smartest man in the world. Encouragement and compliments are always based on truth, and true friends are constantly encouraging. Well, how do they do that? Well, primarily through the Word of God being shared, through praying for you, for holding you up and encouraging you, coming alongside, being with you, speaking kind words, giving gifts, showing affection, reminding you that they're thinking about you and praying for you. Proverbs 17:17 says, a brother is born for adversity. They hold us up and carry us through those most difficult times. And when your crisis hits, they're there for you. Jonathan came right in the midst of David's crisis when he's fleeing for his life to encourage him. And true friends continually seek to fulfill 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. Encourage one another and build up one another just as you're doing. Just as you're doing. Sadly, there are times when friends mess up in this area. And they're not encouraging. In fact, the Bible warns us of several dangers and several friendship pitfalls that we need to avoid. Now, there's many in the New Testament. There's many in the Old Testament. But I want to highlight three for you. Letter A, and that would be over-dependence. Over-dependence. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 17 warns us, let your foot be rarely in your neighbor's house. Now that word neighbor is friend, so let your foot rarely be in your friend's house, lest he become weary of you and actually hate you. Have you ever had an over-dependent friend? You know, they're always with you. You almost can't get rid of them because they have this emotional insecurity. They've almost like they've got their umbilical cord in their hand that's unplugged from mother, and now they want to plug into you, and you're going to meet all their needs. Now listen, that will destroy a friendship. Over-dependence. Friendships will sour when it's more about getting from someone than giving to someone. And this goes for dating relationships too. Dating couples should not spend more time together than an actual married couple would, like Siamese twins glued to each other every moment, because it'll give them a distorted version of friendship and could undermine their relationship as it progresses. Even in marriage, you want to give your spouse some space and not be over-dependent. Listen, avoid over-dependence. Be dependent on the Lord. Be dependent on the Spirit. Be dependent on the Word of God. Be dependent in prayer. Don't be over-dependent on people. On people. The scary part of even being locked down right now in the pandemic is the fact that we can become over-dependent on each other and maybe too familiar with each other. So be careful of that. Another pitfall of friendship is letter D in your outline, destructive speech. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 18 and 19 tell us, like a madman who throws firebrands. He's talking about speech here, arrows, and even death. So is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, was I not joking? Now you hear this a lot, you know, there'll be a jab and then they'll say, I was just kidding. I'm just playing a joke. Can't you take a joke? It's just a funny jab, as you end up destroying your relationship, destroying a friendship, a sharp tongued, cutting remarks that maybe some of you grew up with, and maybe it was a fun home, can be the destructive knife that actually destroys your friendships and harms your marriage. Be careful that you're not constantly cutting, constantly biting. Constant sarcasm and tearing each other down will destroy any friendship, any relationship. And the vast majority of your speech should be encouraging and building up of someone else. You need to repent of that if that's really a part of your speech. And then letter C, another pitfall to friendships that can destroy them, a third failure in friendships is insensitivity. Insensitivity. Proverbs 27, verse 14 gives us another warning to friends. It says, he who blesses his friend with a loud voice in the morning will be reckoned as a curse to him. He wasn't sensitive to him in the morning. A true friend is an encourager and is sensitive about their friend's circumstances and their personality bents. In the morning, some of you say, good morning, Lord. And there are some of you who go, good Lord, it's morning. You know, it's different. Two distinctives of the human race, springers and crawlers. Right? You know it. And the two main laws of nature is, first, your college roommate is going to be the opposite of you. And the second law of nature is that morning people always marry evening people. It's always that same. So be sensitive about who you're dealing with. Be sensitive about their circumstances and how they respond to life. Some spouses, some friendships, some people need coffee before they can actually dialogue with you in order to function in the morning. So evaluate yourself. Not your friend, but evaluate you. Are you an encourager? Are you weak? Are you average? Or are you strong? Mark that line of where you are at as you express these attributes of friendship. And the final quality of an intimate friend is number 5 in your outline, and that would be an enduring commitment. An enduring commitment. Remember what David and Jonathan did when they first met in chapter 18, verse 3? Remember when we started there? Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. And then in chapter 23, verse 18, it says, so the two of them, Jonathan and David, made a covenant before the Lord. They made a covenant. Now look at 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1. Turn there, 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1. David is now established as king over all of Israel. For 7 years, he was just over Judah. And then for the last 33 years, he was over all of Israel. And one of the first things he does is he remembers his covenant with Jonathan. He remembers that. Though Jonathan is now dead, their friendship shows an enduring commitment. And it says this, then David said, is there yet anyone left of the house of Saul that I might show him kindness? Are you ready for this? For Jonathan's sake. David remembers Jonathan and he remembers his covenant with Jonathan. Do you have any friends by covenant? Well, sure, your wife or your husband, that's a vow, that's a covenant. But any others? Now, you shouldn't have more than one or two. A friendship which is unconditional, though, and unbreakable is a friendship by covenant. Don't make too many. Why? Because they're really hard to maintain, and they'll tear you up if they fail. As one saying goes, be slow in choosing a friend, and be slower in changing one. When you lose a true friend, you really do die a little internally. Like David did in Psalm chapter 55, verse 12 and 13, it says, for it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. An enemy, I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide myself from him. But it is you, a man my equal, my companion, and my familiar friend. And that was painful to David, excruciatingly. I believe David is speaking about Ahithophel here, who turned against him during the defiance of Absalom and when Absalom betrayed his father. And it would have been easy for David to deal with an enemy, he says in this psalm. You know, an enemy turning against him is not that big a deal, but it was not easy. It was actually painful and devastating when it was a close friend. Few things are more painful than the betrayal of a close friend. So make your covenants, make your friendships carefully, carefully. These type of commitments are similar to a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You know, they're easy to put together, but they're really hard to separate without creating a mess. So evaluate yourself with an X on the scale. Are you one who hangs in there with friends? You are an endurer. You're going to stay with your friend. You're going to stick with them as far as it is possible, as long as it is possible with your friends. You're a long-term committed to make it work. Are you weak in that area? Are you average in that area? Or are you strong in that area? So, how do you do when it comes to being a friend? How do you do when it comes to being a friend? Are you a true friend at the strong level? Are you the average level or the weak level? Or were you just evaluating yourself? You just said, I'm just average. Well, take a good hard look and ask friends and family to evaluate you as a friend. And understand the greatest thing that you could do would be to make some steps to grow as a friend. And where do you most need to grow? Well, allow God's Spirit to apply God's Word and embrace these three challenges as we wrap this up. Letter A, the greatest friendships require Christ. The greatest friendships require Christ. You need to be the friend of God in order for Him to work through you to be a great friend to others. If you're not related vertically, you're not going to be able to relate it right horizontally. And the only way to be a friend of God is to hate your sin and to turn to Christ, who took God's hatred for sin upon Himself on the cross, then rose from the dead to give you new life. That's where genuine friendship really starts. That's when relationships begin to get right. Some of you might think, listen, Jesus doesn't want me as a friend. I'm just too sinful. But the Bible says in Matthew 11:19 that Jesus is the friend of tax gatherers and sinners. So then how do you gain forgiveness from God? Well, Christ must save you. And in that process, you will admit that you are a vile sinner before a holy God. You will believe that Christ is God who became a man, who died on the cross, bore God's wrath for your sin, rose from the dead, and is the only way of salvation. And you will be so transformed of heart, being born again, you will want to follow Him as your Savior and Lord and Master. That's what it means to be a Christian. You follow Christ. You have been made new by Him. You exchange all that you are for all that He is. And you put your faith in Christ and you turn from your sin in repentance because you hate your sin and because you love Christ and what He did for you in providing forgiveness. Aren't you tired of your sin? Aren't you tired of your guilt? Your stained conscience and your loneliness in relationships? Then turn to Christ. There is no better friend than Jesus Christ, and this friend lives in you. Letter B, dependently practice one friendship quality. Not all five, but just one. It says in the Bible, John 15:14, Jesus shows us how to be His friend when He says, "You are My friends when you do what I command you." Today, each one of you in your home, and singles who are FaceTiming a friend, share with each other the one friendship quality that you need to grow in. Each family member, after today, sometime today, talk to each other about one quality of friendship that you need to grow in. And then encourage each other this week to follow God's commands and to truly be the friend of Christ. Don't point out, hey, you weren't loyal. Don't point out, you know, you weren't encouraging. Just encourage each other to live out these truths. And then letter C, evaluate your first friendship. Now think about this in terms of your friendship with Christ. Your Lord, He showed you one voluntary willingness to sacrifice. He went to the cross for you. He showed you a loyal defense before others. He defended you before the enemy and the accuser. He showed you complete freedom to be yourself, the way He made you, and He drew you to Himself just as you are. In fact, number four, He is a source of constant encouragement through the Holy Spirit, through the Word, through your brothers and sisters in Christ, and so many other means of grace. And Christ is the one who, in enduring commitment, you are secure for all eternity. Think about the friendship that you have in Christ. He manifests every single one of these qualities towards you. Now, evaluate your part in your friendship with Christ. Are you voluntarily willing to sacrifice in your time, in your money, in your gifts, in your service? Are you a loyal defense before others as you share Christ before others? Are you speaking out boldly for your friend and defending him? Are you have the complete freedom to be yourself by showing honesty in prayer? Are you genuine before your Lord Jesus Christ? Are a source of constant encouragement by living holy and seeking to please Him and honor Him? And then also an enduring commitment, a loyalty to Christ in all of life, and an expectation to be with Him forever. Let's today all desire to be like Abraham, who was called the friend of God. And let's truly understand what it really means to be a friend. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You again for Your Word. Thank You, friend, for this time. And thank You for this beautiful location. We, Lord, think about the friendship that we have with You because You initiated it. You sought us out. You chased us down. You brought about our friendship with You. We pray, Father, that we might reciprocate and truly be a friend to You. as well as to learn to be a friend like you to others. And Father, any that don't have that relational intimacy, we pray that you would draw them to yourself, you would show them the emptiness of their own heart, you would convince them that they have to turn from their sin to follow you, to put all of their life in your hands and to let you cover them in your righteousness. And Father, they would cling to you and know what it means to truly be a friend of God. And we pray that you would accomplish that for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening today. Sermon audio from the last 3 years is available by podcast, and a larger archive from Chris Mueller and Faith Bible Church can be found at media.faith-bible.net. And if you would, please leave us a review on iTunes. It helps a lot. Thanks, and have a great day.